Today on Faith Matters, we're going to continue our series, Faith Basics. John Gardner is going to be with me, and we are going to look at the topic of doing theology. I'm Dan Jarms, and you're listening to Faith Matters, a podcast to help update you on matters of Faith Bible Church, as well as equip you in matters of the Christian faith. Well, we're here back in the studio, and we are working through our basics series. I'm here with John Gardner today. Hey, John.
Hey. Hello, everyone listening.
And we are transitioning from the basics on the Bible to the basics on the doctrine of God. And we're going to start a 4 or 5 part series on what we call theology proper, or the doctrine of God. And I'll tell you what I mean. Like, the first thing when we do theology, we have to know how we're doing theology. And that's the subject that theologians call theology proper. So how do we do theology? And then how do we know who God is? What we want to do is start today by helping us think through just the basics of doing theology. So the title of this podcast is Doing Theology. So, John, let's start with some questions for you. Why do we do theology?
We study theology because it is just what the word means. It is knowledge about God, and we want to know Him. His word calls us to know Him, and we want to the best of our finite ability to be able to comprehend an infinite God, and yeah, that takes a life of study.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were mentioning something that's always impacted you that R.C. Sproul said about theology and doing theology.
Yeah, R.C. Sproul has a book called Everyone's a Theologian, but I love even more than the book itself, just that concept that it's impossible not to do theology. It's impossible not to have some intellectual conception of God. Everyone has some sort of concept of God. And so what we need to do is make sure that our concept of God is correct. We need to make sure that our theology is sound. And being right on the question of who is God is literally a question that has life or death consequences. And we want to take that seriously.
Yeah. So some people think that theology is for the intellectual Christian, the real serious Christian. John, what would you say, you know, when somebody feels like, man, that's just for the really smart people?
I would say, first of all, that's just not true. You can and should do good theology. And I think even just looking at the people that Jesus entrusted to tell the world about Himself were not intellectual people. I mean, there were a few. Matthew was probably a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
But you know, he's got fishermen and you know, young guys who are just wanting to be excited about the gospel and go tell people, like, here's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. So doing theology is for everyone. You may like to read a lot. You may want to read a little. But everybody is doing theology. It's not just for the overly intellectual. So the why do it? We want to know God. We want to be able to be equipped to help other people know God. We want our thoughts to be refined, not random. So lots of reasons to do theology. But the best is to give worship. Since theology leads to worship, we will give truer and better and more robust worship the more we know God and the more aligned with Scripture that our thinking is about God. Let's talk about what theology is. What comes to your mind when we ask the question, what is theology?
Theology is the study of God's revelation of Himself. It's taking what He's told us about Himself and squeezing every bit of truth out of it that we can find.
Yeah, that's really good. So that does bring up questions often people have. There's something called natural theology, which is the idea that we look at nature and we try to deduce things from God, about God. And the Bible tells us that God reveals himself through nature. What are the limits to natural theology?
Limits of natural theology are what Paul tells us in the book of Romans, that we can see things about God's attributes. There are things that are apparent about who God is and what he is like from the things that he has made. But natural revelation, natural theology cannot show us how to be saved. It can't show us how to live. We need God's word for that.
Yeah, so you can go on a hike in the Dishman Hills. You can go up to the Rocks of Sharon, and it's beautiful. And you say, well, God is amazing for making these things. But that doesn't tell you what his will is. It doesn't tell you why he's made what he's made. You have to have an interpreter of natural to really develop natural theology. So there's some different parts of theology. When we're saying we want to study and know God, John, what are the different kinds of theology? What are some of the big words we throw around about the kinds of theology?
Kinds of theology, probably the two most well-known forms of theology study would be systematic theology, which is breaking down theology by topic and digging in that way. And then there's biblical theology, which is looking at the doctrines in their historical context. What would each biblical author mean by this? How would they apply this truth in their situation that they're writing about?
Yeah, so let's be really practical. If you want to know, what the Bible says about lying, you're going to look up references in the Bible about lying, and then you're going to organize them in some way that is logical to you. That's just systematic theology. Systematic theology books are usually bigger and broader topics. There's usually 10 big systematic topics. And all that means is an author or a set of authors has thought about some of the biggest topics and organized them logically from what they believe are most important and most clear. And because that's a human endeavor, it is, even the approach is fallible. What some person gets out of a set of verses and another person gets out of a set of verses is often different. So biblical theology might take those topics and go through a book. It might also cross the whole storyline of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that in the current era, people love to get the whole storyline of the Bible on a topic. So you'll find people writing books on a biblical theology of worship, just walking through worship through the whole Bible, sometimes book by book, covenant by covenant, and so on. What makes those work? So when you're going to borrow somebody's book, John, how do you test it out? What makes those things faithful?
When I'm reading a theology book, I want to always have my Bible open and to be cross-referencing, looking things up. There are systematic theologies that I believe are better in line with what Scripture teaches. There are systematic theologies that might be largely good, but we would differ in some areas. And wanting always to have the Bible be our first source for truth, and comparing what other books say to what God's Word says.
Yeah, and it's okay to say I can learn from people who have different takes on certain things. In fact, they can challenge my own exegesis, so it's sometimes useful. You shouldn't only study guys that you always agree with, because then your conclusions aren't tested. John, why don't you walk us through how you do theology?
I guess my journey in doing theology really started when I was about 20 years old, where I was intimidated by the idea of studying theology and exploring big books. And I just had an older man in the church just pulled me and a couple other guys aside and said, hey, let's sit down, let's spend this summer, and we're going to go through this book on systematic theology, and we're going to talk about it, we're going to study it together, we're going to ask questions, and giving us all a chance to interact on some of those topics and to see what God's Word said was really formative for me, helped me get get started. Since then, you know, now I feel a little more competent to study some of those things on my own, but always wanting to bounce ideas off of other people. My wife and I talk about things that we're reading together. Just the process of doing theology, a lot of that involves just reading or listening to just different sermons or talks on theological topics, but always coming back to the Word to evaluate what I've heard.
Yeah. What would be some beginner sources that you would say would be helpful?
There are a lot of, I guess, most real thick seminary level systematic theologies have a smaller lay level version of them. The first systematic theology I read was Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. He's got a more accessible version that he just calls Christian Beliefs. It's like 20 essential doctrines that every mm-hmm. Christian should know, I think is the subtitle.
Yeah.
John MacArthur, his big biblical doctrine has a smaller version that's called Essential Christian Doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I've used a lot in our home is by Bruce Ware. It has a book called Big Truths for Young Hearts. It's a systematic theology that's designed for, you know, kind of younger teen years. That's super clear in his thinking, but accessible for younger people. Parents will find value in it, but also as something they can read with their kids to help as a first introduction to it.
Yeah, if you love to read and you don't mind carrying around a 10-pound book, then you could start with MacArthur and Mayhew's Biblical Doctrines or Grudem's Systematic Theology. If you need a reference tool that's a little quicker for you, I think a lot of people should start with the Big Truths book, because you start simple and you gain a simple understanding instead of being overwhelmed by it. So I would almost recommend the Ware book as a starter book. If that's your first book, for me, the first book on systematic theology that I got was, I got a pair. I got Basic Bible Doctrines. It was a Dallas Seminary one, and that was really, really helpful. And it was from a dispensational perspective. And then we also got R.C. Sproul's Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. It's basically a devotional type systematic theology. I think there's 104 two-page articles. And R.C. Sproul has the gift of clarity with the ability to use really good analogies. So that's a great starter.
Mm-hmm. I think going through catechism can be a really good way to study as well.
Yes.
We've done the New City Catechism with our kids and several others that are really valuable ways to kind of systematize and learn key doctrines.
Catechizing was the way that the church for centuries and centuries taught its systematic theology.
Mm-hmm.
So people have been doing systematic theology from the beginning. There's biblical theology. All the sermons of Acts are tracing through themes about Christ. And you could see them in the combination of that in the book of Hebrews. Can you think of any other examples?
Yeah, the first one that came to mind outside of, you know, some of particularly Peter's sermon, like Acts 2, Hebrews 11 is basically a biblical theology of faith. You know, he gives you a definition of what faith is and then goes through all the Old Testament saints and how their faith was applied and rewarded.
Yeah, it's a great example of biblical theology. That's good. Then systematic theology the church did from the beginning. So I think of something like an elder qualification in Titus 1, 8, and 9, that a person must have sound doctrine. He must hold a sound doctrine. And the idea of doctrine really is teaching that is of the systematic nature. It's the summary truths. Paul exhorted to Timothy to pay attention to the public reading of Scripture, to the exhortation, which is preaching, and the teaching, which was this body of doctrine about the gospel and how the Bible unfolds that. So the Bible's talking about it all the time. One of the forms that was early, so if you think of creeds and catechisms, the first kind of systematic theology that's done in the Bible, like that pulls it all together, is like creeds and catechisms. Mm-hmm. So in 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that the church's job is to hold up and hold high the gospel. He says, great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. And so here was an early church confession. He culminated these things together. And this is about Christ. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit. So we have his incarnation and his exaltation. Seen by angels, which is his rule and reign. Proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So we have these essential truths about Christ put in a confessional statement. So confessionals were the first systematic theology to help, and our other examples that we've used, John, especially in public worship.
We have used the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed is probably the most common that we've used. That's the oldest one that we have record that is I think it's 12 bullet points of I believe this. The Nicene Creed really develops that a little further. There's the Athanasian Creed, which gets a lot more into the doctrine of the Trinity, which, by the way, is a good example of systematic theology.
Yeah.
It's the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, and a lot of people are like, find me a verse that says that. Well, that's, you know, looking for a verse that says that is a bad way of doing theology, but what the Trinity is or the incarnation, some of these words that we use theologically are taking all of what the Bible says as true and synthesizing that into a doctrine that we can help us understand what we're reading.
Yeah, that's good. So those are examples. We have it in the Bible itself. We have it in church history of how to do theology, and we're always do well to follow the Bible's lead in how we approach God. So God tells us, in a sense, or shows us how we can approach him and study him. One of the things that's very common when a person gets really excited about theology is they start getting argumentative and proud because knowledge puffs up. How do we avoid that when we do theology?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of times they talk about when people first start using theology, you should lock them in a cage.
Yeah.
For that reason, for me, the more I study, the more I realize how much I still don't know.
Yeah.
And you know, there's almost a little bit of an exhilaration to gaining knowledge at first. Like, oh, now I understand things that I never understood, and I probably understand things nobody else understands.
Yeah.
Which is a very a prideful way to do it, but it's a natural human reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But the deeper you dig, the more you realize just how great God is, great as in enormous and beyond our comprehension. You could never stop learning more about God. Mm-hmm. And that should be a very humbling experience.
Yeah. The analogy a preacher used early in my life, he was preaching at church here, and he said, the knowledge of God is like the ocean and we're thimbles. So what happens when you try to pour the ocean into a thimble? He says that there's spillage. that's how we have to remember ourselves, that there's so much to God and so little about us that we can know things truly about God, but we can never know things exhaustively. And that keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. And that keeps us allowing theologians who may have a differing take on something. They really love the Bible. They're really trying to use the Bible. I don't want to say just any theologian, but Bible-loving theologians disagree on things. And why would you listen to somebody who disagrees with you? Because you're fallible. Like you're a thimble. So you're trying to get it everything inside. So that helps us stay humble and teachable, looking at how other people look at Scripture. So, all right, thanks, John, for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us today. John and I worked through what is really the first issue when a person studies systematic theology that we talk about, which is the doctrine of God and theology proper. If you have other questions about theology, we would love to hear them. We're already getting some future podcast ideas about questions people have. So email us at info@fbchurch.org. Let us know how we can help you.